The last part of this lecture series is about this social localization. It's one of the most powerful methods that if you have a supersymmetric like a theory, you can do many exact calculations. So today I'll be explaining some basic ideas about this social localization. But before we move on to discussing this method, Supriya Mills has never appeared in this workshop, I think I should at least say a few words about it before we talk about this issue. So again, it's a good example of a topological twist. So we first discussed a little bit about this 10D n equals 1 Supriya Mills. And it's dimensional reduction to do that to four dimensions. And that's of interest to a lot of people here. But anyway, so in 10 dimension, it's going to be very sketchy. We'll just make a complete story, briefly discuss the structure and so on, and also mention the topological twist. So we have the two car spinners I mentioned in my first lecture, so pick one of them. And this is 16 dimensional. And then look at the fields for this n equals 1 10 dimensional super young mules is given by the following. We have a connection, one form, valued in some Lie algebra, and a fermion. valued in this spinner tensor with the Lie algebra. So this is a connection one form A, and this is my fermion. And the action functional is pretty simple. Let me not mention too much about the notations and so on, just be a little bit brave. But this is the curvature, this is a usual like the way you write down fermions. And you can check like this one is supersymmetric invariant. I also didn't write down this transformation. And this kind of actually has interesting structures about norm division algebras, like 10 dimension, 6 dimension, 4, 3, and so on, but all work in the same way. Now I want to mention at least one thing that I've been discussing these DG structures in this workshop and BB formalism. It turns out there's a very nice way to rewrite this stuff in terms of DG algebra. It's like a Berkowitz construction, so let me mention a little bit. in terms of pure spinners, so for example, for the Susi algebra here, like we have this gamma matrix. And you can think about this gamma pairing as like defining 10 quadrics on S plus. And you can look at intersection of these quadrics. So let, it's called Q, and Q is bad. Let's call, Q is okay, Q gamma. Basically, there is intersection of these 10 quadrics. Now, you look at the following space. You have the V here, and product with this quadric, it's the even part, and they have the odd part, given by this Kyle spinner. Look at this space. Then, this one gives rise to a very interesting like DG structure as follows. So for example, you look at functions on this space. Let's call this one B. Functions on this space, Q gamma, product with the higher spinner. And to write down this differential, like explicitly, let's choose some coordinate. For example, choose local coordinate. For convenience, let's say we have x mu for the wave part, and just even coordinate, let's say lambda alpha for this parameterized element in S plus. And you have like a fermions theta alpha is parameterized the odd part of S plus. Then functions, this B can be written as, for example, generated by like these variables x mu, this lambda, and this theta, like modulo the defining equation, that's quadrics. So this is the gamma matrix in terms of basis here, lambda alpha, lambda beta. And that is what this algebra is, looks like. Now you see like you have 10 quadrics doing the intersection. Then you can construct the differential as follows. Q is given by lambda alpha dd theta alpha plus gamma mu alpha beta theta alpha lambda beta dd x mu. And this is a very interesting differential operator, first order differential operator. If you compute the square of this operator, and you observe that Q square equals, I think it should be gamma mu alpha beta lambda alpha lambda beta ddx mu. And that's actually zero on B. Let's call this one Berkovich algebra. Then from here, you construct a natural DGA.
So it's important. The lambdas are anti-commuting, correct?
Lambdas are commuting. Theta
anti-commuting. Okay.
Yeah, this is like a commuting. This is like, this part is odd. This part is affirming. Even. Yeah, this one is zero just because this is like a, this lies in the ideal. So, and I think Berkovich construct proved is the following. But I have a little bit hard time understanding this. I guess some expert in the audience can correct me. And it constructed the following stuff, I think. It shows that if you look at the equation motions for the super young mu's, modulo gauge transformations, modulo gauge, and it's the same thing, somehow as like a Mori-Cardan element of this DGA, modulo gauge equivalence. Somehow, this allows you to describe this 10-dimensional n equals 1 super young mu's in terms of DGA here. And in particular, you can try to write down some kind of transform type action functional, which sort of equivalent to this kind of super young mu's. And that fits into the theme of this workshop, that you can do this kind of DG stuff and so on. Just want to mention this. OK. Now, starting from here, nice thing you can do, like you can do dimensional reduction to four dimensions. I got a lot of interesting examples of topological twist. So I want to mention this before we move on to discuss this localization technique. N equals four dimension super young mu's. Now somehow this can be one way to understand, probably the best way to understand this one in terms of dimensional reduction. From this n equals 1, 10 dimensional. And you basically split the spacetime into 4 dimension and the extra 6 dimension and declare that the fields A and Psi only depends vary along this 6-dimensional, four-dimensional stuff, and constant along the 6-dimensional stuff. And then you can write down, look at the induced representation for the Susi algebra. So for example, under this dimensional reduction, basically you have this embedding. Now this is a Bongard group in 4 dimension, and the extra spin 6 plays the role of like an R symmetry group. It's isomorphic to SU4. And this guy is isomorphic to 2 copies. This case is like a it's a in the in this Lorentz signature is like SL2C. In the Euclidean case it's like SU2 cross SU2. Now, if you look at how since decompose, I mean this Kier spinner. If you complexify this Kier spinner, I mean this is a 16-dimensional complex vector space, this decomposes into the following stuff. That's the representation theoretical calculation, and this S is the fundamental representation for this SL2C, the complex spinner. And this 4 is the fundamental solution, fundamental representation of this SU4.
Before you go on, so Berkovitz has this result that the critical locus of the superangles action is mod some relation.
Modulo just gauge transformation. It's like solve equation motions, modulo just equivalence. The same degrees of freedom like that DGA.
What is the equivalent?
I think that's the statement. Probably, I don't know, like, I think it's right, but it might be wrong. Probably somebody in the audience can tell me, can correct me.
But the, so on the other side, the equivalence, do we know the equivalence on one side?
This one?
Either side.
Oh, I mean just the equality?
Yes. I mean the tilde.
Oh, without this trade, I mean, this is not true.
Yes.
Only after you modulo this equivalence is true. That's going to be important, like at level of like a classical moduli, it's the same. okay. Now, then let's quickly discuss the twist for this four-dimensional theory. Yeah, there are many versions of this, like by Berkovitz. Like, yeah, I got a hard time to figure it out exactly. I mean, that's one of the stuff I can tell. Yeah. Okay. So we can basically decompose these fields in terms under its representation. Look at like what it becomes. For example, the scalar, this gauge field becomes like a gauge field in 4 dimension and plus 6 scalars and so on. So I won't write it down. Just to quickly mention this topological twist. That's major discussions, probably interest to the audience. But let's look at this Euclidean case. I mean, for simplicity, signature, and for this spin 4 cross spin 6. It's convenient to write it because we can complexify anyway, so it doesn't matter eventually. This is like a SU2 left cross SU2 right. This is like a SU4 R symmetry. And then we mentioned that to do this topological twist, we need to find a morphism. Look for homomorphism, let's say rho, from this guy, SU2, cross SU2, to SU4. And basically, you just figure out like what is this particular fundamental representation decomposed under this morphism. So look at how this 4 goes to what, basically. The graph of this SU2 cross SU2. So there are basically three main twists for here. The first one you can do is like 4 goes to this particular representation indexed by 2-1. So it's a fundamental representation for SU2. The other one is a trivial product direct sum with the 2,1. That's about this kind of a Waffen-Witten twist. And the second one you can do is like 4 decomposed into like 2,1. I won't say too much about it, and I'm not an expert on this stuff as well. So, but there are many experts in the audience, so you probably should ask later. This is the geometric Langlands twist, for example. So some interesting thing you can do. Okay, this completes the example of like a topological twist for Cyprian-Mills theory. And that's all I want to say about this, the twisting part. Now, and the next, I want to move to the topic on this supersymmetric localization. So, I'll give you some basic ideas on how things work. Now, in this kind of a Susi twist, we can always find an operator supercharge, global supersymmetry Q. And then we work with like observables, like a Q cohomology and so on. And eventually we will compute integrals, like Q exact stuff, it's gonna be zero. And the point is that this kind of simple equation implies that you can always reduce your integral into some kind of smaller space. And that's the supersymmetric localization. So to illustrate the idea, let me give you like a toy model, like a prototype example of, in geometry that we are all familiar with. It's like in the equivariant localization formula. So a proto example. So let's look at this situation in equivariant cohomology. Equivariant localization. And let me try to explain why such equation will imply this localized data. So let's consider a geometric situation. Let's suppose we have a group X1, U1, acting on a manifold X. Then we look at the following data. Suppose let V to be the generating vector field. uh, this is infinitesimal action. Now, let's look at the following complex. That's the Cartan model for equivariant cohomology. So first look at the Drum complex on X with a parameter U. And let's look at the following Q operator. Let's say Q equals the D Drum differential plus U contracting with the vector field. And then observe that the Q square is U times the Lie derivative for this vector field. And in particular, if you consider like S1 invariant object in this differential form, let's call this one Cartan model of the equivariant cohomology. Because it's S1 invariant, this guy now becomes zero acting on the complex. So we find DGA. It's a very nice object. Now, in a very similar situation as this one, like say that if you consider integrations, you can look at integration from this guy. Just integrate over on this form factor. You end up with something like a function, polynomial function on U. That's what this integration map. But you see, like this integration map, if you apply this one to something like a Q exact, it's going to be zero. Because the first one, like it's the Drum, is zero by Stokes' theorem. The second one is the contracting with the vector field, is zero by the type reason. So now you are in such a situation, then this will tell you like localization will happen. Why this holds? So let's consider and cohomology class, let's say Q alpha equals zero. And try to compute integral of alpha on X. And how to compute it? The idea is the following, like we try to modify this guy by exact terms and using relation that it can have a homotopy. Eventually it becomes something more and more simpler. So more precisely, let's do the following construction. First, choose a metric. Let's G to be a S1 invariant metric. On X, S1 is compact, you can always find this. You just add to some average. And let's look at the following waveform. Define, let's call this one psi. This equals, let's say 1 over U, a metric V. This one is a waveform. So here is this place you put into this vector field. This is a waveform. Then you can change the integral in the following way. So if you compute integration, this guy is the same thing as this object, e to the q apply to I want to put an h bar somewhere for simplicity. So put h bar here. Minus 1 over h bar q applied to this guy. And because this one is Q-exact, this one is Q-closed. So this one doesn't depend on the choice of this psi. So in particular, this function, this integral doesn't depend on choice of h-bar. But let's try to look at what this form, I mean, what is Q applied to psi look like. Now, Q psi look like, I think it is given by the norm of this vector field plus a one form, whatever. D phi. It's two form. The important thing here is like you see this the norm of the vector field appeared in this construction. So you see like this one equals integral alpha e to the minus 1 over h bar, and basically the norm of the vector field squared plus something like two form. You can span this two form to get its differential form on the manifold. But anyway, you know, like as I mentioned, like this integral doesn't depend on the value of the h bar. This is true for any h bar. Now you can let h bar go to zero. And you see like this integral will be localized around the locus where the vector field vanish. And that's the fixed point of the x1 action. And that's sort of the idea, like happens for all the examples you're going to be playing with, like a topological twisted thicket model or any other topological twisted quantum field theory. So, but that's the philosophy. Why, like having such a Q with such an operation, you can produce some kind of localized data. So, in practice, this is like a finite dimensional model, like geometric model. So later we will describe another formalism, like a Massey-Coulomb formalism, which give rise to concrete action functionals, I mean, related to the twist of supersymmetric theory. But so far, let me just discuss some general structures. So for example, we mentioned last time, like the topological twist of two-dimensional thicket model. We have this kind of A model. And I explained that this action functional for this A model can be written down as like a Q something, plus a topological term. That's the volume of this Riemann surface. And then in a very similar situation, so construct Q something, and then throw this one into the past integral. And this guy look like an integral of the L2 norm of the d bar phi plus some kind of fermions. It's very similar. This is a norm of this the map. Phi is a map from the Riemann surface to the target symplectic manifold. So the same situation, like now you can rescale your metric, do something similar, eventually this integral will localize to holomorphic maps. And that's the philosophy. Similarly, like if you do B model, and we write down this the B model stuff carefully last time, it's again very similar. Like action function look like some kind of integrals of d phi norm square plus something. And again, in a very similar situation like this example, this toy mode example, this will localize to, we rescale the metric, localize to constant maps. And that's roughly speaking what's going on. Like many other examples, like four-dimensional, the twist of the supersymmetric gauge theory in four dimensions, all these examples will behave something similar. So actually, you can draw many interesting conclusions by just thinking about what's happening here. So for example, let me say some words about the B model before we move on to discuss the action functional in general, how to write down this action functional for this supersymmetric localization. So you see from this discussion that you, like a B model, you localize to constant maps. Sort of like the data becomes like around, more and more like around the constant map on the target. And that means like this kind of local operators, I mean, this kind of thing will generate basically a local quantum field theory on the target. This is very different from A model, like you have all these kind of holomorphic maps, it's non-trivial instant on corrections and so on. A B model, eventually, effectively, you can describe this B model probably in a completely different way by just local QFT on the target. And you can figure this out. I mean, for example, like this is one of my favorite examples. If you look at a closed string, and this kind of thing like leads to Kolodwoff-Spencer gravity, Kolodwoff-Spencer field theory, like described by Brzezinski, the Curie Curie Wafa. And then you can sort of make this theory into a complete B formalism that as I described with Kevin a couple years ago. And this kind of interaction term described at the classical level describe intersection numbers on the modular space of rational curve. That's roughly speaking what's going on. But also you can do something more interesting, like you can look at boundaries, you look at open strand states. And we know, like, the look at the boundary conditions for this B twist. I mean, we discovered like holomorphic vector bundles. It turns out, like, the theory. I mean, this kind of the local quantum field theory, this one generates, like, described by Witten in terms of like holomorphic chain Simons. And this one tells you like how this kind of thing interact. So for example, so this guy like for this holomorphic chain Simons, the fields is given by like the Bull complex on X valued in some Lie algebra with strip by one as described by Filson. And the action functional look like 1/2 the connection, 0-1 connection, or this connection with d bar plus something like that. It's very similar to chain Simons, but it works with like the Bull complex. And eventually you need a holomorphic volume form to help to integrate. And this one basically describe the DGA where the differential is given by D bar and the Lie algebra is given by the bracket, the Lie algebra. I can sort of imagine that by looking at this this diagram, I mean, you have this kind of a thick model, like a B-twisted thick model, like from the disk to describe this holomorphic Simons, but you have many interesting operators. So for example, we can turn on like bulk insertions, bulk operators, by a particular closed string state. It's like Kolmogorov-Spencer field. This give you somehow like first order deformation. Of holomorphic tensions. And actually, this is interesting. Like, you can sort of compute it. I mean, just by thinking that this B model eventually is localized to constant map. And I also described last time that the B model is basically a Poisson sigma model. So you can sort of see that the way you describe this holomorphic tensions is deformation, it's completely controlled by computing correlation functions on the Poisson sigma model, which give rise to this conservative formality. So basically, eventually you're gonna find conservative formality and plus some kind of quantum version controls all the deformations of these holomorphic tensions. So this is something very useful, I mean, that I can think about and try to figure out mathematically what's interesting here. And by just thinking the model, like what's the localization and so on. And okay, that's one of the examples I want to explain. Actually, you can do something more, like you can completely reconstruct the dynamics of the Kolmogorov-Spencer gravity by this process, like understanding the deformation theory. So this is some kind of interesting math you can do out of this physical thinking.
You start with holomorphic tensions and you want to deform it, or what are you trying to calculate with these deformations?
You can basically, you know, this holomorphic tensions give you a nice like a solution of classical mass equation, and it asks like if I want to deform the solution. And still solving classical mass equation at the classical level. This is computing something happening at the classical level. Probably let me give you my example. Like, suppose you have a polyvector field. And that's one of the closed string states. Operators you can insert here. Then you can create a deformation, deforms holomorphic tensions by the HKR map. So basically, what's happening is like this kind of object contract with like a wedge del a depends on how many polyvectors you have here, and so on. And basically, this is nothing but this HKR map. And you can look at higher order deformations. You look at the two insertions and three insertions, so on. That basically is described by this conservative formality. It can do some kind of higher topology, like Riemann surface, like with generators and many more boundaries. That gets more fun. Okay, so. That's sort of the example that appears in this two dimensions. Now, I want to talk about some general feature about this localization. Let me first explain this algebraic geometric construction, then move on to this differential geometric one that leads to the action functional. So let me first discuss this Kronisch model. And the situation is the following. Suppose you have a vector bundle over X. Now, pick a section of this vector bundle. Let's call this one S. And then you look at the dual locus of this section. Let's call this one M. This one equals the dual locus of this section. And I mean, in practice, for this is a finite dimensional case, but for the quantum field theory case, like, this gonna be play the role of like a space of fields. F plays a role like some kind of equation motions. So this is like some sublocus of the space of fields solving equations of motions. That's the moduli, classical moduli space. Classical moduli. And this is basically the equation motion in practice. Now from this data, I mean, there's an algebraic geometric way to construct something interesting inside this moduli space. You can construct so-called localized Euler class of E. I mean, this cycle is going to be representing this Euler class, but the point is like it's localized inside M. And this class basically is called a virtual fundamental class and plays a central role in this Gomitian theory. But let me just explain a little bit what this one looks like. So roughly speaking, the point is the following. Like, suppose this section, this zero locus, like is transversal. Then you get some, the zero locus is gonna be smooth, have the right dimension, and we know that this exactly represents a cycle like the Euler class of the vector bound. But in many situations, this guy might be singular and probably very singular. And this dimension probably is bigger than the expected dimension. And I may ask like what's happening and how to deal with such a situation. So, and this is a basic example, like a model for deformation theory. This is called a Kronisch model. It's the following, like, now this Kronisch model you basically look at the two-term complex, the tangent bundle of X restrict to moduli space and map to this bundle of E restrict to moduli space. It got a bundle map by take a derivation with respect to the section S. This is like a vector bound, two-term vector bound, it's complex over the moduli space. Now I have to warn you, like, this is now where defined bundle morphism if you restrict to the zero locus of S. Otherwise, this is not covariantly defined. But this is where defined. Then you find something like, if you look at this term, this two-term complex, the kernel, if you compute it, this kernel precisely, kernel of this map precisely is the kernel, is a tangent map, tangent bundle for this M. The tangent space. Of N. And co-kernel also has a meaning. And actually it's dual, which is basically the obstruction space. That basically describes the singularity that can happen on this moduli space. So you can study local structure of this moduli space using this one, and there is a deformation obstruction theory controlling the local singularity, and that's the obstruction space. Then sort of this localized cycle, Euler class, sort of trying to understand the Euler class of this obstruction bundle. And in practice, if you try to construct it, you can use the idea of so-called deformation to normal cone. So, so for example, roughly speaking, and you look at the following picture, now you have a section S. Then you rescale the section a little bit. Probably look like, it's very bad. Look like that. Lambda S. And lambda goes to infinity. That's the, I mean, like if you're an algebraic geometer, you know this is like a deformation to a deformation normal cone construction. But eventually in the limit, and you get something, it can intersect with the zero locus, zero section, get a cycle. So under this limit, this leads to this virtual fundamental class, the cycle, inside this moduli space, as this guy, basically. This is the Euler class of the vector bundle localized on the moduli space. It turns out like that's exactly what's happening in general. Oh, any questions so far at this point? This is going to be an important situation.
Can you explain that picture again?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for basically the zero locus of the section. And no, it's not of expected dimension in general. It might have singularity and so on. Then you rescale the section. So infinity becomes like cone. That's a deformation to normal cone construction. And then I can intersect that cone with the zero section. You get a cycle which has the expected dimension, localized inside the moduli space. That's the roughly speaking what's going on. You can make it very precise. I mean, just algebraic geometry, like construct like this algebraically, these Chern classes and so on. But now, to make it connected to the physics, we need to write down actually integrals. And there's a differential geometric analog of this construction. It's like a Masaguilin construction, which is going to be very important to understand the supersymmetric localization. Roughly speaking, it's the following. Again, you have the same situation. And again, you're studying this moduli space. Now, there's a very straightforward way to get the representative of the Euler class in, as follows. Suppose we choose a inner product, a metric. Say inner product on E. And then we choose also a connection, which is compatible with the metric here. Now, this is Masaguilin formalism basically tells you that you should consider the following space, the superspace. Like a shifted tangent bundle of this shifted vector bundle of E. I can make it very precise. Like this one is like a bunch of terms. It contains like the shifted tangent bundle of X with this vector bundle, this bundle E, and it's a tangent of this guy shipped back, so it should be another copy of E as a vector bundle on X. That's the total space. Now, this allows you to write down some interesting differential forms as follows. So let's do some calculations using local coordinate. So we choose local coordinate. Let's say local basis and coordinate. And also local coordinate. So for example, if you choose a local basis, like say E alpha for E, and then the coordinates is has the following, like you have like X mu, like say mu, and the code is fine, chi alpha, and the B alpha. And this is the local coordinate on X. This represents the vector from X. This is a like coordinate on tangent bundle of X. So it's represented in one form. This is the vector like coordinate on this copy. And this is Fermion. This is boson. So it's like a last copy is E. And the degree like 0, 1, minus 1, and 0. That's what I see from this shifting. And now, because it's like a shifted tangent bundle, it carries a natural differential, like the Rom differential. Which one?
E. Fibers of E are usually.
This is like degree positive, so this is negative. This is like a coordinate view that's a dual of the vector bundle, so that's why the degree is in this way. I hope it's correct. So this means like the element here lies in degree positive 1. So it's a linear dual, it's like degree minus 1. That's coordinate. The Durham differential. So it means like a delta applied to X mu equals psi mu, and delta applies to chi alpha like equals B alpha. Then and we also need the data about this the connection. So suppose let's write down the connection form. So this connection applied to the basis is a matrix one form. This is a connection one form. Okay. Now let's look at the construction. Like start from an element of a section of the bundle. You can construct a function S, which is closed in the following way. So S equals delta another guy. This kind of thing appeared many times in this talk. Here, like this object, it's going to be degree 0, so this one is going to be degree minus 1. And you can write down something very general, the kind of thing you can write down for degree minus one stuff. It turns out to be the following. This kind of thing appeared many times in the gauge fixing stuff that we discussed. So, three terms. And this one, I mean, like if you write down coordinate, it means like a alpha beta, and a mu is one form, and then you have this kind of object.
So what is little s referring to
pi? S is a section.
Oh, the section.
Yes, s is a section. We check this one degree minus one as expected. So this one, this guy is degree 0 and then delta closed. This is very similar to the situation that in the beginning that we discussed about the equivalent merge. Then, and we know that by construction, this guy minus, S is very confusing. Oh gosh. Probably just erase it. It's a function. So this is S in my section. So let's look at this kind of thing. Delta applied to psi. Look at this expression. I've seen this already, in the beginning of the talk. This one is the drum closed for sure. By construction, degree zero as a function on the superspace. Then the Mosaic-Quillen construction is the following. You construct the following representative of the Euler class described by the choice of section and the connection. It's given by integration along the fiber of the bundle. So you have like fermionic integrals and bosonic integrals of this guy. Then you end up with something on the shifted tangent bundle, which is the differential form on X. And because this one in the beginning is like closed, so when you do the integration, it's like a push forward. You still get something closed. It's a closed differential form. On X. And the important thing is that this guy is not only closed, but it's class doesn't depend on the choice of the section. So if you vary the section, you vary something like exact terms. So you sort of see from the expression. And whose class? Drum class. Is independent of the choice of, say, the section and also the connection and so on, this data. And I can compute the integral. I'm going to leave this one as an exercise for you. If you compute it, it looks like, probably put it this way. Let me put it here. If you compute it, it's one equals something like 2 pi, the dimension of the manifold, some fermionic integral, d chi, and e to the minus 1/2, the norm of the section, plus 1/2, the curvature 2 form, and plus another term described by the covariant derivative of S. So this produces one form on X. This is like 2 form on X. And this is like a norm of the section. I guess you have seen this in the beginning, like when we were working with like equivalent merge, you have something very similar. And this guy, as I mentioned, like it's a closed differential form. It doesn't depend on the choice of like section and connection as well. That's the Mosaic-Quillen representative for this Euler class. I didn't say, but let me put it here. This is the curvature 2 form. Now, this is basically the way, in quantum field theory case, like you are dealing with like an infinite dimensional version of this, like you get many kind of fields, like fermions, bosons, like arise from this construction. Let's try to look at the feature of this form. So this one doesn't depend on the choice of the section, so it can rescale the section. They're similar to what we discussed just now, like for the deformation to normal cone, for the coronation model. Now, if you rescale it, it can rescale this this factor and this factor, the same class. So you observe that, for example, if you let this parameter go to zero, and this term goes away, this term goes away, you end up with an integral something, and the Fermat integral of the curvature to form. Now, then apply the exercise in the first day. For this Fermat integral, you find basically the Pfaffian of the curvature to form. And we know, like this class represents the Euler class. I mean, you also have this famous like Chem Gauss-Bonnet type theorem. But that's reasonable. I mean, this is really what's happening. Like, you want this class to represent your Euler class. But you see, like, this is one of the limits. You can go to the other limit, like lambda goes to infinity. And you see that when lambda goes to infinity, this term somehow will dominate, and eventually this integral will localize to the zero locus of the section. And that's a very precise differential geometric construction of the localized Euler class sitting inside this moduli space. That's roughly speaking what's going on. So let's do some examples and see how this applies to quantum field theory. any questions so far? I hope this is sort of clear. Yes, that's the in practice, this is a quantum field theory case. It's like you do something very similar for infinite dimensional case. After field, have equation motion, you add into the ghosts, the fermions, and so on. Like, and they try to figure out what is this guy. And in the exercise today, you're gonna try to do the example of supersymmetric quantum mechanics, which comes in a very simple way. You like this? It's your favorite example. But okay. But anyway. So let me discuss some example. I mean, how this arises. I mean, we discuss quantum field theory. So the first example is the A model. Now we know like A model somehow localized to holomorphic maps. So there's another way of understanding this, like reversely. Like, suppose, let's look at all the maps, just the ordinary map. Or smooth maps, or some good sense. And then we'll look at the following situation, similar to this kind of Masai-Coulomb construction. Look at all maps that it can make sense of. Smooth maps, for example. Now we construct, this is an infinite dimensional space. We construct infinite dimensional vector bundle over this mapping space. And what is this guy? This bundle at a particular fiber, I mean, at a particular fiber of this map, is given by all smooth sections, like Holm, and the bundle from, say, 0, 1 vector field to the pullback up to 1, 0 tangent bundle on X. You look at this bundle, look at all the smooth sections. This is very, very infinite dimensional. I mean, I mean, that's the point. Like, if you work with infinite dimensional space, I have to cut by infinite dimensional, infinite many equations to get something like a finite dimension. And there's a very canonical section of this bundle. And this section is nothing but a D-ball operator. So for example, roughly speaking, like the section of this guy evaluated at a point just equals D-bar this guy. That's the tangent map, but along this particular direction. Now you see like their locus of this section represents holomorphic maps. So sort of like a this is a very rough, but you can sort of see like the moduli space of stable map arise in this way. Let's call it MG bar, but this is very rough, just to illustrate the basic idea. That's the holomorphic map. The bar should be, in some sense, compactified, but let me not mention too much. Then you apply Masekulin formalism. So it means that you start with all the data, like a map, you then add into these fermions, the bosons, and so on, add all of them, and you eventually can write down an action functional like that, like this guy. And basically, you find this A model action functional. And yeah, something more. Remember, like I mentioned, there's a correlation model. I mean, whenever you have such a situation, you find some kind of localized cycle sitting inside this moduli space. That's nothing but this virtual fundamental class of the inside, just lies inside this moduli space. So with and also this virtual fundamental class that plays a central role in Gomitian theory. That's one of the localization. Let me discuss another example. The sympathetic part. Yes, topological. Yes, I did it. I did the volume. The volume term appeared. That's right, plus two, topological term. And there are many more interesting examples, like in four dimensions and for the twist. But since this workshop is like many focus now, so far it's like 1D, 2D, and so on. So let's come back to one dimensional. And one dimensional case is like a supersymmetric quantum mechanics. Discussed a lot, and also in Tudor's talk. this model, can arise in the following way. let's work with the circle. It's one dimensional. So basically, we're working with like a loop space, all such maps. And then we can look at the following vector bundle. And this bundle, at a particular fiber equals all the sections over S1 pull back of the tangent bundle. So roughly speaking, you have a circle here, you map to something crazy. And this element here just tried to indicate like at each point how this guy is going to move inside X. We specify some factors in X. And so it's not hard to imagine, like, this is nothing but a tangent bundle of the loop space. So basically, this is the same thing as the tangent bundle, the loop space. Okay, now again, there's a very canonical section. So let's choose coordinate. Let's say let t be the coordinate, t be coordinate, the periodic coordinate on a circle. And this S is nothing but a tangent map. So DDT, roughly speaking, I give you an element of the map. I just produce this guy, D over DT, this map. So basically, it's a tangent map. And now you see, like, the moduli space that arises in this way is the zero locus of this section. So when this one is zero, it means like this is like a constant map. This moduli space. Its constant map means like the same thing as just the X itself. Then basically you apply mass equivalent and if you do some, I mean, this is one of the exercises today, you're gonna find the supersymmetric quantum mechanics that Tudor discussed a lot in this talk. And so, like, but actually in practice, this is something like you have a supersymmetric theory, you do the twist, and I can try to formulate it in such a way that it becomes a mass equivalent formalism. Then we compute path integrals, which you know is hard to compute, but you know it localized to finite dimensional vector moduli space. There, you can try to figure out the meaning of the integral. I mean, that's the essential ingredient of this supersymmetric localization. But actually, but by thinking about this, you can get something some interesting math. So let me give you one example. Yes. Give. The wrong class.
The wrong class in the base.
Yes. Okay. In terms of all the fields. No. I mean, this is for any section, but it can apply to a lambda multiplied to
one.
Yes, yeah. But it can rescale it. Like, there's a coupling constant, it can rescale to send it to a large volume limit or something like that. Okay. So so let me last explain just one point. Like, so let's look at this example, like supersymmetric quantum mechanics. I also love this example. You know, like, this guy is localized to constant map. So this means that there's something interesting happening, like local data on a target. So, so for example, this sort of this circle. Now you need some imagination, like, map to every point and started to fluctuate a little bit, become like a quantum mechanical system and quantize something locally. And if you work with BV to figure out what's really happening, so if we work with BV formalism that we discussed in these 2 weeks of workshop a lot. For this effective, for around this, the effective locus neighborhood of constant maps. You may ask, like, the essential here, the thing here is like, is the element of solution of quantum mass equation. So what's the geometric meaning of quantum mass equation in this situation? So it turns out to be something very geometric. You know, this quantum mass equation played a role of like constructing some like a differential, the flat connection. That's exactly what's happening here. It turns out this quantum mass equation in this case, effective quantum mass equation, is equivalent around this locus to a flat connection of the Weyl bundle on X with a flat connection. So here, like X is a symplectic space, so each fiber is linear symplectic. You can do a canonical quantization, get this Moyle product, for example. That's the infinite dimensional rank bundle. It's a bundle of associative algebra. And you can construct a flat connection. And this flat connection is constructed by, actually, geometric by Falasov. It's called a Falasov connection. And this kind of thing captures the geometric meaning of quantum mass equation. But I can do something more, like other examples, like a 2D case. You got to find like a vertex algebra, things like that, and so on. That's a lot of fun.
I thought that Fedosov did this in order to give a
quantization. Exactly. You can just, starting from here, you can figure out, using this model to figure out, for example, you can figure out the deformation quantization. And actually, there's an additional benefit, I mean, of doing this. We know that this supersymmetric quantum mechanics is a model to describe the index theorem, like a single index theorem. And you can also use the quantum mass equation to prove a version of index theorem, which is called a algebraic index theorem that can be all formulated.
You've never assumed that X was Poisson, right?
This is symplectic. Symplectic in this case. Poisson case is not like this.
When did you assume that X was symplectic?
Oh, I mean, I just mean it in this situation, like my phase space is a symplectic manifold. Yeah. Or locally, you can write like a P and X, something like that. Okay. But that's some kind of fun geometry you can do by thinking about this localization and playing with like a BV. I think that's all I want to explain. Thank you very much.
Could you maybe just say a few more details about this, how the quantum master equation is related to this flat connection?
Yes. Like Dylan talked about, this quantum mechanic model, like by writing down degree one Hamiltonian, and that solves the classical mass equation. And this is the quantum version of that. You have to work like with renormalizations carefully in the sense of like a Kevin, and you sit down to write down the renormalization. In this case, the theory is UA finite somehow. So you can do a very concrete calculation, and eventually you figure out that the meaning of the quantum mass equation in this case, so like Q, some stuff, plus H bar, del stuff, which is a yield defined a priori. This is the classical, the quantum mass equation. So this is yield defined for the infinite dimensional case, but if you renormalize it carefully, it turns out to be equivalent to basically trade this operator by deforming this bracket. So if you renormalize, and the precise meaning of this equation in the sense of Kevin, the renormalization, you find the same thing as the QI bracket, the Moyle commutator. So the way you normalize, I mean, resolve singularities and do this kind of a homotopy object flow, eventually, I mean, this example is very smart. It just tells you, like, trade this build operator to deform this bracket. Now, this one played the role of like something like, you can say, this Q plus bracket of I defines a flat connection. That's a philosophy of connection. That's how it works. This is actually not hard. I can show you directly. Yeah. So, I also recommend my paper on this on the stuff, the index theorem.
So what is script W of
TX? Script of
the file.
Yeah. This is the star product, the commutator of the star product, with respect to the star product. That's the fiberwise like a Moyle product on this one. That's why you combine this localization with the BV. That's something you find.
Thanks, see you again.
Thank you.